Hi and welcome to another edition of Journey to a Dream. It's brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance. You can find out more about them by visiting their website. It's kawasaki-insurance.co.uk. We're also very grateful to the Andrus Racing Association and in particular Lee, who helps out organising all the guests for this podcast. And we've got two great ones for you today. A father and son duo, somebody who's had experience on the mountain course and somebody who at just the age of 15 is looking forward to a career in road racing. Let's meet them.
My name's Craig Melvin. I'm an ex-TT sidecar driver, but more recently I've been involved with the Andrus Racing Association as a committee member, sidecar riders rep, and also I'm the treasurer of the club. Also, now it seems that I'm a team owner, I'm a mechanic, and I'm a personal assistant to Toby.
Tell us who Toby is.
Toby's my son. He's been with me since day one in the paddock, and now he's started racing.
Toby, can you ever remember a time when you weren't around the paddocks and around bikes and sidecars?
No, I've been around the paddock and sidecars all my life. It's what I've been brought up with. I've been to every meeting that I can.
And at what point did you realise that you loved it so much that you wanted to take it a little bit more seriously? Because you're only, what, 15 at the moment?
Yeah, I'm 15, but I've always loved it. But about 2 years ago, I got off-road pit bike for Christmas and I was just riding it around, like, the camp in Derby. But it got complained because of the noise levels. So I decided to sell that and buy my first real road pit bike. And from there, it's just the loves just grew.
And Craig, what's it like from your point of view? It's one thing you being out there and doing your thing, but seeing your boy out there must be quite different.
Yeah, it's completely different, to be honest. I think when I was racing TT or short circuits, I didn't really think of anything else. I was pretty calm. Well, once I got going, I was pretty calm. The build-up in TT is pretty nerve-wracking. But watching him, even pit bike level, it's hard to do, really. It's given me a bit of appreciation for friends, family that have watched me over the years doing TT, and I can understand now why my mum hated me doing it so much. But yeah, it's good, because I think by me calling it a day, it really gave Toby the chance to take over the mantle, really. My dad raced, I raced, and now Toby's racing, so if I was still racing, he probably wouldn't be, because
would he not? Look at it.
he's had his eye on being a passenger for quite a while, so if I was still racing sidecars, I'm sure he would be lining that up as his next move pretty soon. But for now, I'd rather he just stuck with the bikes, to be honest.
So, Craig, you were saying your dad raced, so again, you grew up in that sort of environment. I'm guessing you were a small child around the paddock as well. And when did you decide, actually, this is something that I really want to do?
I mean, I've been involved with Andrus Racing probably, I know it's hard to believe this from my fresh young looks, but probably over 20 years now. I was wobbling around originally on a solo. My dad was racing sidecars. I jumped on as a passenger. Wasn't really a fan of it, to be completely honest. I was just happy to be out on track on a bike. He became Isle of Man Centre Champion in, I think it was 2008, and he had a goal of reaching the TT, so he'd taken part in Derby road races. He wanted to progress to the TT, but unfortunately he had a heart attack and died before he got the chance to do it. I then managed to buy his sidecar, which had been sat around for a couple of years, and I got it really with the aim of just restoring it, selling it, making a bit of money. But at the end of like the year of working on it, I thought, do you know what, I'm gonna go and just have a go on this and see what it's about. And the one thing I was missing really was a passenger at the time, but me and a guy who lived a couple of doors down from me, Stuart Christian, we played football together for years, and we're both massive TT fans. So I just said to him, fancy jumping on the side. He didn't really have anything to do. And then it just went snowballed from there, really. And within 3 years, we were at the TT. It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. So
that must have been so poignant for you, knowing it was something that your dad had wanted to do. And there you were. You'd have been so proud, wouldn't he?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it kind of... I was mid-20s when my dad passed away. And it kind of gave me a realisation and an appreciation for the fact that you don't know when your time's going to be up here. So if there's something you want to do, do it. Don't hang around. Don't wait. Just do it. Find a way. So when I see these guys now razzing round, and yes, I think it's nerve-wracking to watch. But, you know, I think we should be helping them as much as we can, because it's what they want to do. So you can either fight it, and when they get to 19, 20, they're going to do it anyway, or you can try and give them a foot up the ladder and help them on their journey, really.
I'm just interested in what you said. Your mum wasn't massively keen, and you can understand that. Do you remember many of those conversations where you're sort of just broaching the subject gently?
We don't really talk about that kind of stuff, to be honest. She knows. She knew that I would end up doing it, and it didn't matter what anybody said. I was doing it. Yeah, but she would pop up around the paddock a couple of times at TT, and you could just see the nerves on her face. And it was horrible for me, because I'm trying to get in the zone, trying to do my thing. Like, it's quite, you see a lot of the sidecar teams, and they're big family affairs. Whereas me, I've kind of wanted to keep my family out of it. So at the paddock at TT, Toby would come up, but if it was anywhere near race time or practice time, I'd ask my wife to take him away so he's not there, because I want to be 100% focused on what it is that I'm about to go and do, really.
I guess there's a real psychology almost in sort of preparing yourself, and everyone's got a slightly different way of doing it.
Yeah, I give a shout out to Dave Smythe. Dave Smythe helped me humongously at the beginning of my TT career, because I'd gone from somebody who just loved watching the TT to suddenly I was there. I had like real imposter syndrome that first TT. You stood around with Dave Molyneux, the Birchalls, Holden. You see all these guys and you're just like, what am I doing here? So I struggled quite a lot with nerves in my first couple of years. And that's when Dave Smythe stepped in and he helped me out humongously. So yeah, still good mates with Dave. And it's great to see that he's helping other local riders as well.
Toby, how do you deal with the nerves side of things? Do you get nervous?
I'd like to say I don't get nervous that much, because I just try and go there and have fun. But it does get nerve-wracking, mainly on the 400 at Andreas Racing, because it's a bigger bike and there's faster people there. But I just try and keep my calm.
I guess it's difficult, isn't it? Because you need a certain amount of nerves to produce that adrenaline to make you go faster, I guess. I'm speaking as if I'm someone who can even ride a push bike. But it's just how you manage that. And Craig, that's the thing, isn't it? It's that difference between being focused and being fearful.
Yeah. I mean, if people didn't get nervous, I think if people say they don't get nervous, I think they're lying, to be honest, especially when it comes to road racing. You need to have that. Acts as a bit of self-preservation, doesn't it? People say to me that they don't get nervous, they're lying. I don't believe them. As long as you don't allow the nerves to take control, really, that's the main thing. So yeah, so Dave teaches like breathing techniques and mindset, and I'd like to see Dave hopefully work with Toby in the future. Just to keep them focused, really.
Because I guess it is amazing what control, if you can take control of your own mind, you can have over your physical performance.
Yeah, definitely. I'm quite big into how the mind works and how top performing athletes manage to reach those highs. Yeah, I've got a personal interest in that kind of stuff, so Toby might think I'm a bit wacko, and he might think that this has turned into a
psychology chat.
A bit of a therapy.
He's looking
session.
At you in, looking at you indulgently there. Let's talk a little bit more about then. You talked about that pretty quick trip that you had to sort of thinking about TT and ending up on the start line. I just wonder what the whole process was like in terms of juggling real life, obviously with family, work, mm-hmm. and whatever. You have to go away and get the signatures. How was that time for you?
For me, it was great. Probably wouldn't say it was great for my missus, because Toby would have only been a toddler at the time. It probably wasn't the greatest timing-wise, but I loved every single minute of it. And do you know what? If I had the chance to continue doing it now, I would be doing it now still.
So I suppose people would say, why aren't you doing it now?
I started racing with Stewie right from the word go, and life changes, unfortunately. It got to the point where Stewie had a little in, and he wanted to focus on family life, which is completely understandable. I'd had a couple of tough years at TT, and the amount of money that I was having to put into my racing, it got to a point where I had to take a step back and think, do you know what, the sacrifices that my wife's making, the sacrifices that Toby's making, the debt that I'm in, I had to think back, and I had to think, have I achieved my goals? Have I achieved what I set out to do? And I had. So it kind of came to a natural crossroads, really. And I mean, don't get me wrong, it was a very, very difficult decision to make to sell the bike, and I regret it every single day. But it opened up the opportunities for Toby to start racing. I mean, I look in my garage now and the sidecar's been replaced with, what, 8 motorbikes now. And
8?
Yeah. And I get the chance to... I've got a race bike myself. I get the chance to go out and have a bit of fun with my son, which not a lot of people get the chance to do that. I'm big into football. I see quite a lot of my mates now are playing football with their sons. Well, I get to go on a racetrack with my son, so we win. So that's another big box ticked, really. It's an awesome thing to do. And you look around the paddock now, there's a lot of these young guys coming through. When I started racing, most of the young guys were 19, 20, 21. You look now and they're 13, 14, 15, 16. And it's great to see them carrying on their father's names. We've got Sean Crone out there now. His dad was Nick Crone. He's going to be definitely a name to watch in the future. George Cowie, who's the son of Andy Cowie, Manx Grand Prix racer. He's kind of come into his own this year. You've got Toby now. There's lots of these names, second, third generation names coming through, which is great. And I get a kick out of helping these guys. A lot of people helped me on my way up, so now it's kind of my chance to help other people on the way up. So it's kind of come full circle now. And these are all going to smoke me anyway. So, yeah.
Toby, from your point of view, what is your ultimate aim? If you could just write down exactly what you want to happen, what would that be?
Just enjoy it and probably build my way up and try and get to the Manx Grand Prix.
What is it about being out there on the mountain course?
I don't know. I just, ever since I started racing bikes, I've just had my eye on the Manx Grand Prix. It just interests me doing the TT circuit.
And you're talking about Andrus, and I think we talk time and time again about how great it is to have that organisation here, and it's grown so much in recent years. I guess from your point of view, Toby, being around people who are really into the same sort of things as well must be quite a good thing.
Yeah, it's really good. And how young some people are over there, it's good to have someone you can bond with, so it's not just a bunch of older people. You've got people like around my age, 15, 16, that you can go have a chat with, you can talk to them and not have to worry about how you speak, because they'll understand you, and it just feels easier.
Mm. And to tell you what, Craig, it's also really good, because if he's interested in bikes, there's no time for going out drinking, is there?
Exactly.
No spare cash.
Exactly. You should know by now that if you race and you don't have any spare money, because I've had a whole lifetime of not having any money, because it all goes racing. Got nice shiny bikes, but no holidays, no DIY, no nice cars.
Gosh, you're painting a dream here, Craig. But that's the reality of it. And it's something we talk about time and time again. And, you know, it's great for us just sitting there on the hedges watching people go past and do their thing. But the reality is that there is a lot of blood, sweat and tears that it takes to get people there.
Yeah, yeah. I've always said that as soon as one TT finishes, that's it. You're looking at the next TT. You spend the winter planning. You spend January, February, March trying to lose weight, and it's grim. It's so grim. I mean, I'm not the most natural slim guy, so it's kind of, you have to starve yourself for 6 months. It's every single spare penny goes into it. It's not just a 2-week event, it's a year by year event, and you need to make sure that everything's covered off, really, because if you miss something, you've got to wait a whole year again to do it. Yeah, it's a grind, but I think part of the enjoyment is that grind. It's the whole working towards something. You've got a target to work towards, you've got a plan that you've got to put together, and then you've got to execute it. So yeah, I love it.
And you talked about Dave sort of helping you from the sort of mind point of view, but presumably you had other people around you in your TT career, for you and Stewie, just financially helping, sponsors.
Yeah.
How was that side of things?
We were really, really fortunate in the fact that we had some amazing people helping us over the years. And no motorsport is cheap, but sidecar racing is on a completely different level. I mean, you're looking, if you want to go out and buy an all right bike, not even anything special, you're probably looking at 20 grand just to start off. And I think that's come a bit of a problem, really, in the world of sidecar racing, because we've kind of reached a point now, and you'll see it especially at TT. When we started, our first TT was in 2015, which isn't that long ago. We were bike number 59 out of 65. Now the grids have dropped down to about 30. And I've been banging a drum about this for ages, but it's grassroots. Young, hungry racers don't have 20 grand kicking around to go and buy an all right bike. So they're naturally going to go and buy a race bike. So the race bike grids are fine. but you see it all over the country now as the older guys have hung up their levers. There hasn't been that backfill. So at the moment with the ARA, that's one of the things that we're kind of focusing on at the moment. It's making sure that we have got these young lads coming through to try and future-proof ourselves, really. Going on to the ARA side of things, we've got the race school, we've got some great coaches out there. We've got Gary Radcliffe. I don't know how old that guy is, but he put me through my race school 20 years ago, so he must be about 102. But he's still fast and such a nice guy. There's Johnny Hegg, TT Marshall, you've got Dave Bossendorf, you've got Carolyn Sells has recently joined the training crew, so you've got some amazing knowledge that's being passed down to people. And I don't know whether Joe Bloggs thinks getting into racing is intimidating or a lot more difficult than what it is, but it's not. I mean, these guys have proven 14 years of age that they can get their race license and come and do ACU test days. There's mentoring sessions. I actually went out with Marcus Simpson at the last session, so you know, he's taught me a few things. I've done thousands and thousands of laps around there in a sidecar, and I've suddenly jumped on a bike and it's completely different. So he's give me a few pointers. It's the same with anybody that comes up there. It's a friendly and inviting paddock, and there's always people there to help. So we just need to make sure that we've got these newcomers coming through, the young lads coming through, and it's great also to see that there's females coming through as well. I think there's four regular females out there. We've got Zoe Boole, we've got Lauren, Jessica, Iona. So yeah, it's nice to see a bit of diversity in the paddock as well.
Yeah, it really is, because I think that, I mean, traditionally people do associate this sport with men, yeah, largely, but that female contingent, the more that you have, the more, as you say, it inspires the next generation.
Yeah. And hopefully by having Caroline on the instructor side, hopefully that is going to tease a few more of them through.
Well, her enthusiasm is just so infectious, yeah, isn't it? I mean, she's just a great ambassador,
yeah,
for the sport.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, I remember watching her go around at the Manx Grand Prix when I was younger, watching from the hedges. And yeah, she's an absolute legend of a woman.
We were just talking about the sidecar a little bit earlier and the sort of the friendliness and the family-like atmosphere that there is in that paddock. And that bond then between you and the passenger is key to everything working successfully. Yeah. How did you go about building that with Stuart? Did that just come naturally?
I think because we'd known each other for years through football, and the fact that he lived a couple of doors down, we were both starting off at the same level, so he wasn't trying to catch up with me, or I hadn't got a passenger that was vastly more experienced than me. We just grew at this steady pace. Yeah, it was weird. It was weird, but I had 100% trust in him. I knew that he would do the job. And towards the end of our racing days, he could have jumped on with anybody. Like he was fit as a fiddle, big into his CrossFit. He was a real, real talent. I was very, very lucky to have somebody that was so loyal.
What makes a good passenger?
What makes a good passenger? Feedback's important. And trust. I've put Stewie into some horrible situations. I've dragged him down the back straight at Jerby. We've never really fallen out over anything. We just have open conversations about stuff and feedback, yeah. But for me, Stewie's probably wasn't the most typical sidecar passenger build. He was quite a stocky, muscly guy. Whereas you see the passengers now, it's all about lightness, and they must weigh about 8 stone, which that's probably as much as one of Stewie's legs. but I liked that weight on the bike. I liked knowing that he was there. I liked knowing that he was wrestling the bike with me,
anchoring it down.
Yeah. So I did a couple of race meetings when Stewie was unavailable during the 10-12 years. With like a passengers, and to be honest with you, I absolutely hated it, because the bike just handled so much differently. Yeah, I wasn't a fan. So
it's interesting, isn't it? You just get used to a certain way of being. In all your time then doing your TT racing, when you were together, a number of top 20 finishes, I think you got 14th, was it, in 2019?
Yeah.
You said you achieved everything you wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, originally we set out, we only wanted to do one TT, just to tick a box.
That's what they all say, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. And I remember Ben Binns saying to me, he was on with Molly at the time, and he said to me, he was like, forget about that, he won't do it just once. And we were awarded with the Allemand TT Marshall Association Newcomer Award, which was a complete surprise. And after that, it was kind of like, well, we can't just do it once. We've got to come back again now, haven't we? And then every year, Stu would say to me, yeah, I think this is going to be my last year. And a couple of months later, we'd have the conversation and I'd say to him, so are we going to do it again then? And it was always a yes. So yeah, we started off 2015, got the newcomer award, and then we slowly just started bumping up, moving up. And then 2019 was definitely our best year. I think our fastest lap was just shy of 107, which isn't too bad. And then we had the COVID years. The COVID years hit, and I would say during the COVID years, that's when I was at my fastest. Me and Stu, we were experimenting loads with the bike. We were in a fortunate position over here that we could still go racing, whereas in the UK they couldn't. So we just used that time to try loads of different things out with the bike. And yeah, we felt really good. It was, I feel like I've been robbed of a couple of TTs there, but it is what it is and you can't change anything.
You've also had great success at Jerby as well, yeah, the two of you.
Yeah, we've had three centre championships. I think we've been runners-up four or five times. So yeah, it's always great to have that number one plate. Again, unfortunately, numbers have dwindled over the years over here. We haven't dropped sidecars from a couple of rounds, but the events that we have been putting on, they have been supported. We just need more guys out there. So if anyone's got a sidecar knocking around and they want me to ride it, then give me a shout and I'll chuck Toby on.
How would you feel about that, Toby? I know it was sort of jokingly said that maybe you thought about sidecars earlier. Would you go on with your dad?
Well, I've actually always wanted to be a passenger. I'd love to go on the back with my dad and share that experience.
Have you been on a sidecar?
I have once, yeah.
Is there a story here?
This was many, many years ago, before anybody that's involved with Andrew's Racing was involved with it. But we used to hire the track, me and Stewie, to do a bit of pre-TT testing. And I think Toby must have only been about five. And he wanted to go out, and he just so happened to have his helmet and bits and bobs in the van with him. So we said, can we take him out? But this person wasn't overly keen. But Toby had heard, so he was obviously jumping up and down, wanting to go out. So they let us take him out for a lap. So we chucked him on the back, and Stewie kind of sat behind him, holding him on there. So he has had an unofficial lap on the sidecar around Jerby, aged five.
And clearly remember it, and it hasn't put you off, Toby, so all good. Do you see your future on a solo machine, though?
Yeah, I reckon I will stick to solos. Because the sidecars are dying, and it's a shame because it's what I've wanted to do, but I also don't think my mum would be very keen on me jumping on a sidecar.
Your poor mum. How do you manage doing everything that you need to do bike-wise? And obviously, you're 15, you're at that sort of age in school, and you've got all of that sort of things going on. How keen are you on school?
Not very, to be honest. I just want to ride my bike, to be honest.
Do you know, I was talking to somebody else, and there was another podcast who used to be at St Ninian's High School, and they used to have their exams, obviously, during TT time, and could just hear the bikes whizzing down, and I don't think there was much concentration there at all.
No.
And it must be really hard, because, you know, if you've decided what you want to do, being forced into doing other stuff that you just have to sort of get through, it must be really tough.
Yeah, I just try to keep my focus and look forward to the weekends, really.
I keep telling them that if you don't focus at school and you don't get a good job, then you're never going to be able to go racing, because I'm not going to be paying for it forever.
He says that, yeah. I don't think he means it. Give us a sense then of what your weekends are like.
Normally it's Friday night, load the van. Most weekends it's Saturday, chill around, make sure we've got everything prepared, make sure we've got everything in the van. Sunday, pit bike racing, and then get back, unload the van. Then we've got the whole week of school again, and then it's normally Andrew's Racing weekends. So it's, again, Friday, load the van. Saturday, test day, make sure everything's working right. Leave the van over there overnight. Sunday, go racing.
So you've got quite a busy one this week, for example, haven't you, where you're pit bike testing tonight.
Yeah.
Then you've also got ARA test day tomorrow, then you've got ARA racing on Sunday.
How hands on are you, Toby, with regards to sort of tinkering with the bike and whatever?
I'd probably say I'm not the most mechanically minded, but I do try get in the garage as much as I can and just watch and learn and ask questions, because that's how you do learn. You have to ask, and if you don't know something, ask and watch, take mental notes of what you have to do.
I mean, I think you're getting a lot better. For example, him and his mate were working on his mate's pit bike. I was in the garage working on my bike. My brother-in-law was in the garage working on his son's bike, and Toby and his mate were in there working on his mate's pit bike. So I was there to just guide them, really. I took the engine out and put the engine in to bolt it up. But really, it was those boys getting stuck in and doing it. And I would just kind of guide them on what they needed to do or what they should do.
And how important do you think it is that they've got that sort of sense of knowing what they're doing?
They've got to, really, because, I mean, racing's dangerous. It's if you're doing something to your bike, it needs to be perfect. So there's also going to be a point in time where, you know, as soon as he hits 17, 18, I'm sure he's not going to be wanting his dad tagging along to race meetings with him. He's going to want to go off and do stuff with his mates. So it's important that when they go to them, that they have some sense of what it is that they need to do to their bikes to get them ready. So
you're not going to leave your dad behind, are you, Toby? Don't leave him. Look at him.
They don't want this old burnt-out racer following them round, talking about how fast he used to be.
We're coming up, as we talk at the moment, to TT 2025. Nobody can actually quite believe it's so close now. Mm. But how do you spend those 2 weeks, Craig?
Last year was horrendous. So last year was my first year in quite some time not doing it. So I painted my house last TT, which was amazing. Looked great. This year, I'm going to jump in and help my neighbour and great friend Darren Hope and Lenny Bumfrey. So I'm going to be involved this year with those guys. So I'm really, really looking forward to that, to being back in the paddock and, yeah, just being in the mix of it. But it could go one or two ways. It's going to either be, I'm glad I'm out of this, or it's going to be,
yeah, I wish I was there.
I'm going to the bank on Monday and I'm getting a beer glow.
We'll be watching out for that one. It's a shame, really, because I could do with my house painting for free, but never mind. And what about you, Toby? I know, obviously, in a mixed school and whatever, but how much will we be out there watching the guys?
I'll probably be out every day. My mates love watching it. I love watching it. Probably just be out in a random field watching them go by.
Where's your favourite place to watch?
I love the gooseneck because it's just, you can actually see them and you know what they're doing.
It was quite funny, really, because my dad used to be a marshal at the Gooseneck, so when I was younger than you, I would always cycle up from Ramsey to the Gooseneck to watch the bikes with him. One of my favourite parts of the TT circuit is the Gooseneck, because it's kind of got those childhood memories of watching, and then it's like, you're doing it. So like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
That is lovely. And have you ever done any marshalling, Craig?
I'd be useless in an emergency situation.
Good to know.
So, yeah, don't be banking on me. I'm in awe of anybody that goes and does it, to be honest with you, because it can't be easy. Yeah, I'd be running around like a headless chicken, so, yeah. If there's any emergency, get me well away from it.
Yeah, running the other direction. And you talked about some of the people that you were racing alongside when you started, like Dave Molyneux, obviously, all these sort of legends of sidecar racing. Who did you look up to when you were younger? Who were the people that you were watching and thinking, I want to be like that?
Oh, it was 100% Molly. 100% Molly, yeah. Again, really surreal becoming somebody that I know, somebody that I'd go around his house, somebody that I'd chat to. It was the first couple of years, I just blew my mind, really. It was really, really, really strange. Even Darren Hope, I mean, Hope, he's won the TT as a passenger back when he was in his early 20s. So just mixing around with them guys, but then realising they're just normal people. You know, they're just normal people with an exceptional talent.
And who do you look up to, Toby? Apart from your dad, naturally.
he looks down on me, he's taller than me.
It's got to be Michael Dunlop. I love Dunlop, man. I like how he is. He's focused, he's there to do his job, and he doesn't mess around.
And what's great, isn't it, is that when Michael Dunlop says something, it's something you want to hear, isn't it? Because he's just, like you say, so focused otherwise. Yeah. So have you met him yet?
No, I haven't.
You have, actually, when you were very, very little.
You have. You can add that to the list.
We were at BSB at the weekend, and him and his mates were off round trying to find the superstars. So you're a fan of Storm Stacy now, aren't you, after you've rinsed me for getting merch from him in a top hat.
Do you have a part-time job or anything at the moment, Toby? You don't have time, do you?
No, I don't.
No. He used to work. He used to work in a cafe, but it got to the point where March to October, it's most weekends are taken up racing, and that's the only time that they want him. So I said to him, you've got the rest of your life to work, haven't you? It's now's the time for going and enjoying yourself and doing what you want to do. So I'm regretting that to some degree, because it means he's never got any money.
Well, do you know, one of the things that we're hoping to do with this podcast is to encourage people who've maybe thought, do you know what, I'd love to give it a go, but I don't quite know how to. I mean, it's something, going back to what you said, Craig, about some people think it's really difficult to get involved. But here in the Isle of Man, we've got this fantastic opportunity for people to go out and try it. So how would you sell that?
I would say if you're one of the juniors, so I don't know if you're 11 to 13, the guys at the kart track, I'd say go on Facebook, go to Jerby MR Sports, get involved with Pitbike Racing. That's where you're going to cut your teeth. And then once you're 14, you can then move on to your race license. So come and do the race school, do the classroom course with Andrews Racing Association. Come and do the test days. They have various different groups, so novice, small bikes, big bikes. We've also recently, it's not an area that we'd focused on or wanted to focus on, but there were a lot of people contacting us who ride road bikes and wanted some track time. So at very, very short notice and lots of hurdle jumping, we managed to put on a track day so that road riders could come and join. And that was a great success, really. So we are planning on putting a few more of those on throughout the year, but the racing side of things takes up so much time. I mean, we've got an amazing committee, but I think people need to realise that none of us get paid for this. We've all got full-time jobs. It's quite difficult to do, so trying to put on additional events is really, really time-consuming.
And what is your full-time job?
Me? I work in an office. You'd never guess,
no,
would you?
No, you don't. Yeah, really?
Do, yeah. Yeah. What did you think? Model.
Well, I didn't like to say, yeah.
But, and model.
Yeah, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. Yeah, you seem like somebody who needs to be out there among people, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
How do you find it?
Yeah, it's all right.
Pays the bills.
Yeah, pays the bills. Yeah, it's. Yeah.
If you work with nice people, then it doesn't matter where you work, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's been quite good because, as yourself, I think most people are quite surprised when they hear that I work in an office. And Stewie does as well. Stewie's an accountant, so we were like the most non-stereotypical sidecar crew in the whole paddock in the entire world. Most of them are all grease monkeys with long hair and dirt under their fingernails, and we just come out in our shirts. I think it's been quite good for me because there's elements of my work life that I've been able to bring into Andrews Racing Association and help those guys push that business forward as well. The mix of people there is top notch. I think they're in a really good purple patch at the moment after some difficult years. Yeah, and so if anyone's interested in racing or starting racing or just wants to chat or get involved with the committee, just come and see us, come and speak to us. The girls in the race office are really friendly, really inviting, and help where you can help.
And Toby, what would you say to somebody who might be listening, maybe a little bit younger than you, thinking, oh, I'd love to give it a try? How would you encourage them to do that?
I'd say get a pit bike. They're so much fun and it helps you learn body positioning, what to do at Jerby on the kart track. It's such a unique track, you learn things you wouldn't think you'd ever have to do. So I'd say get a pit bike, and the community over there is nice, they're friendly. Yeah, just buy a pit bike and get out there,
give it a go. And have you thought about what you might want to do job wise
no idea yet, to be honest.
No, it's tough, isn't it? I always think it's a really tough age to have to make some pretty significant decisions.
Well, originally when you seen the size of Stewie's house, you wanted to be an accountant, didn't you? But then you realised that you had to do some hard work, so that went out the window.
How did you find school, Craig? Were you academic?
I say to everybody, I had an ace time at school. I wish I could have gone back. You know, I had a great time. A lot of the people I went to school with, I'm still mates with today, as you would expect on the island. Yeah, I just coasted through.
That's a good way to be, isn't it? Well, do you know, it's been brilliant talking to both of you. I hope it all goes well over TT with you helping out, and that,
thank you,
you know, for your own sake, that you're not going to be there at the bank on the Monday. You know you will be. You know you will be. And Toby, we're going to keep an eye on how you're doing, because already doing so, so well, which is brilliant. And yeah, we'll put the links to the Andrews Racing Association on the podcast page. And if you need your house painting, give you a call, yeah?
No. Thanks, Beth.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How brilliant to talk to Craig and Toby. And so brilliant, as I say, to see Toby doing so well already, supported by his dad. I reckon we might see them both on a sidecar at some point, even if it's just a little lap round somewhere. That would be great. We'll put the link, as I said there, to the Andrus Racing Association on the podcast page. And if you'd like to get in touch with them, they would be so, so glad to hear from you. So please do that. The Journey to a Dream podcast, it's brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance. You can find out more about them. Just go to their website. It's kawasaki-insurance.co.uk. And if you'd like to get in touch and be part of the podcast yourself, I'd love to hear from you. BethSB@manxradio.com is the best email address. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.